Welcome back to Duskwall. As always, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate all the reviews and commentary and Patreon support. It means a lot. For today's episode, I would like to offer a formal apology to the Ace Attorney series, a video game I have never played and yet was a powerful inspiration thanks to the shenanigans of my players, and a critical success on an acquire asset roll. Next, Kim is going to tell us about this month's featured charity.
I want all of our listeners to know that everyone behind the Magpies podcast believes in and supports the Black Lives Matter movement. Black lives have always mattered. They mattered yesterday, they matter today, they will matter tomorrow, and they will continue to matter every single day afterwards. In honor of the nationwide uprisings happening in the U.S. at the time of this recording, and also in honor of Pride Month, we are featuring the National Black Justice Coalition as this month's charity. The NBJC is a civil rights organization that works to empower Black LGBTQA+ people. They work to increase education on HIV and AIDS in the African American community, encourage historically Black colleges to create a safe environment for their gay and trans students, support non-traditional queer families, and so much more. To learn more about what they do and to donate, please visit nbjc.org. To all of our Black listeners, we see you, we love you, and we stand beside you. We are with you in this fight. Black lives matter.
I can't say I feel exactly like a broken record, because I feel like every time I record an intro, I'm talking about some new horror we're facing as a society. Although these latest protests aren't about anything new, racism and anti-blackness are as old as America. But as horrific as the police response has been to these protests, as heartbreaking as it is to hear so many names and see so many faces of people whose murders drove protesters into the street, change is happening. It's been about 2 weeks, and cities are reducing spending on police. The Minneapolis City Council is having an actual, serious discussion about disbanding their police department. Is it enough? No. But it's only been 2 weeks. If we can keep this up, what might change in a month, in 3 months? That said, we are still in a pandemic. We are still in a crushing economic depression. We, in America and elsewhere, are still in an authoritarian state that has proven again and again it will not hesitate to deploy violence to maintain power. So be careful, be safe, take care of yourselves and each other. This fight is a marathon, and you have to take breaks. 2020 has brought unimaginable crises, but it has also shown a strength of community and a depth of love for each other that gives me hope. Things are bad and scary, but so many of us are doing what we can to protect and care for and fight for each other. A better world isn't guaranteed, but I think there's still a chance for one. Now then, let's get started, shall we? So we see the Magpies making their way through Night Market. It's getting on towards evening, probably about 5 or 6 o'clock. And I think that they are coming back from spending the afternoon over at the Red Lamp helping with paperwork and wards and back rubs, as all was arranged previously. And they are making their way to the Hound's Paw. And at this time of the evening, this is kind of when the first rush hits. People are getting off work and want to have a drink. So the Hound's Paw typically is, all lit up. People are heading in through the door. This tends to be the busiest time for them. But as you approach, you see that most of the lights are off, door is closed, the closed sign is flipped over in the window, and on the door, there's like, it looks like a piece of paper was like hammered up there, because you can see like the little tacks and then some like corners of paper where something was ripped down.
Huh. Door have a window on it? Or is there a window we can peek in?
Yeah, there's windows that you can peer in.
Blair knocks.
Yeah, so Minx peering in the window, you can see that it doesn't look like the bar, like, it doesn't look like it ever opened. Like, the chairs are all still put up. And you, I think you can kind of just barely make out Rigney standing behind the bar with his head in his hands.
Oh, dear.
And then when Blair knocks, he kind of startles and looks up and will walk over to the door. And when he sees it's the three of you, he opens it up and it's just like, hey, come on in. I suppose it's best that you're the first ones to know.
Know about what?
We'll let you in, close the door, and then say, apparently I'm closing.
What?
He walks over to the bar and picks up a piece of paper, and we'll hold it out for the three of you to look at. And it is basically an eviction notice.
Myra's, like, flipping through looking for reasons.
Why? The bar has been doing fine.
I asked the same thing of my landlord, when I went over to his office to demand an explanation for this bullshit. There isn't really an explanation on there, Myra.
Yeah.
It just says, you know, and it's like, he has to be out in like 3 days. And he says, apparently an offer was made for the building that was too good for him to refuse.
I see.
Yeah.
Who outbid you?
Well, I mean, I never owned the place, but, one Lord Mora, apparently.
Ah, well, that's fortunate then, because now we can just ram a sword through his chest early and then be done with it.
Minx, we may want to be a little more cautious than that.
That's true.
We just killed Madame Tesla not too long ago. We need to be a little bit more sparing about our blood trail.
Rigney, like, moves to put his hands over his ears, like, I shouldn't be hearing this.
Right, but if the circle is dead, then there will be no one to follow the trail, huh?
I mean, I think the Blue Coats would probably still investigate somewhat.
Fine, let's buy another building, everyone.
So we see sort of the wavy flashback lines, and then we see Minx at a party. It's a nice, fancy, high society, rich people party. And Minx is here for, I would assume, either, you know, enjoying the high life, looking for marks, probably both.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in the course of the evening, Minx, you end up, we'll say, at the bar at the same time as an Akarosian man. Looks like he's probably in his early to mid-30s, light skin, brown hair. What catches your attention about him is that he is impeccably dressed. His fashion is flawless. These season's latest styles in the latest, you know, colors and patterns. This is someone who has that rare combination of both money and taste.
I must say, your cravat is impeccable.
Oh, thank you. Not many appreciate finer points of accessorizing, although I can see you certainly are one who does. What is your name?
Lady Redwall. Well, let's do it. Let's throw some book appreciation in there.
Yeah.
Lady Redwall, a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Oh, pleasure to meet you. I'm Nicholas Firebird. And he says it with kind of that look where, like, he expects you to recognize the name.
Minx doesn't offhand, but her face brightens up anyway. Because she's like, shit, that's a cool name. I gotta use that.
Yeah, and so I think that as you talk with Nicholas here, it eventually comes out through conversation that he is a real estate solicitor. Specifically, it seems like he has, because he, like, I think you end up gossiping, basically, and he has, anybody who's purchased property in the last 10 years or so in Brightstone has probably gone through him. So he has all kinds of fun and exciting gossip about what people's, you know, what people have in their homes, like, nasty stuff in their finances that had to get covered up. And Yeah, I think you have a nice time chatting with this guy, and then didn't really think anything of it until this moment where you are once again confronted with a real estate problem.
Yes.
And wavy flashback lines return us.
I think Minx did just straight up zone out for a couple moments.
Uh-huh.
And then is suddenly like, aha, I believe I know someone who can help.
You do?
Yes. Has anyone heard of Nicholas Firebird?
Uh-uh.
Big time real estate agent in Brightstone. I think we might be able to use him to sneak this back out from under Lord Mora.
When did you meet a real estate attorney?
At a party sometime. I'm back. I didn't think much of it at the time, aside from his cravat.
Oh, of course. That's what did it.
That and the distinctive name.
It's a shame it's
taken by such a prominent person. I was inclined to use that last name as part of an identity. I do believe he has offices somewhere. Shall we go speak with him?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Excellent. No worries, Rigney. The bar will be open for business inside of 3 days. Hopefully.
Are you all right with that, Riggs?
I mean, if I don't have to shut down my livelihood and move out of my home with no plans to reestablish either, yeah, that would be great. I would very much appreciate that. Yeah, he looks pretty stressed.
Can I give him a hug, or do you think he would, like, not in a hug mood right now?
No, he'd go for a hug.
Okay. Blair's just gonna hop him like that and even say anything.
Yeah, he hugs you back.
And Blair gives good hugs.
She does, and Rigney receives them well, so. Listen, as a player, I just love hugging Rigney, so.
Yeah, he needs hugs.
I know. Blair is here to provide.
So yeah, I think he will hug you back and kind of, you know, pat your shoulders and be like, I mean, probably going to start packing up some of my stuff just in case, but hopefully in a few days you all can help me unpack it. Here.
Have we ever failed you before?
Have we?
No, but I think he kind of looks a little awkward and vaguely guilty.
Oh, no!
You may not have failed him, but he kind of screwed you all over that one time.
We forgive him. We forgave him for that, though. It's fine.
I know, but he still feels guilty. He's like, all right, well, if you're gonna get started on this, better get moving, because that got posted this morning, so I've basically got to be out day after tomorrow.
Then let's hop to it.
All right, so we cut across the city to Brightstone, to the very refined law office of Nicholas Firebird, Esquire. And I think he has an assistant who will very suspiciously ask for your names.
Lady Elizabeth Redwall. We met the acquaintance of Mr. Firebird at a party and require his assistance in a transaction, or contesting one, rather.
She, like, narrows her eyes at the three of you and is just like, I'll be right back. Please wait here. And heads into the back office. And I think after a few minutes, she comes back looking a little displeased and is followed by Nicholas Firebird, who kind of, like, clearly Blair and Myra don't register to him at all. Like, he clearly doesn't recognize the two of you, but he kind of, like, squints at Minx for a couple seconds and is like, oh, the Evermars party, right? You like my cravat?
Precisely. It's good to see you again.
Yes, good to see you.
And I see your taste hasn't wavered at all.
I would hope not. It's a bit unconventional. Usually I set up appointments for this sort of thing, but if you can tell me briefly about what you need, I might be able to...
Unfortunately, the problem came to light this morning, so it unfortunately didn't have the prep time that I think both of us would prefer. An associate of ours, who sits in opposition to a member of high society, is having a very important place essentially bought out from under them on very short notice, and it seems very clear that it's not on the up and up, so we were hoping you could help us get to the bottom of that.
Mm-mm. Well, it's gonna honestly depend on who the member of high society is, because I you know, have a certain reputation to maintain. Do you know who is trying to make this purchase?
Right, right. It's no big deal, really. It's just Lord Mora.
Lord Alistair Mora?
Uh-huh.
I'm in.
Wow. All right.
And he just walks back, and his assistant just groans and rolls her eyes really theatrically, and he's just like, I don't want to hear it. Please, come in. Tell me everything.
What's your history with Lord Mora?
Lord Mora, none. His lawyer, however. And he sits down very huffily at his desk and is like, his lawyer, Milo Vertos, has been a long-standing rival of mine. And then I think, like, as the door is closing, you just hear the assistant go, that's not all he was.
Minx is suddenly beaming and has her hands to her cheeks. I do believe we walked in on something amazing.
Minx, I don't think we should pry any further about...
Oh, no need.
Minx is like, continue. I have all the details that I need about this situation, and I'm thrilled.
We don't want to make him uncomfortable. We barely know this guy.
I think as Blair is muttering that, he just like leans back in his chair and is just like, it was a very messy breakup, and now any opportunity I have to screw him over, I will gladly take. So, tell me everything about this deal.
Yes, well, Lord Mora is attempting to buy out the Houndspaw Tavern in Nightmarket. It's kind of a community establishment and one that we frequent and patronize and have friends there, as it were. And it would mean a lot to us if that could remain open for business and decidedly out of Lord Mora's hands, because we are not fans of him.
Yeah, I think he you know, nods. And I think he kind of, like, will ask a few questions of you, and then at some point, like, gets up and opens the door and, like, tells his assistant to, like, you know, run down to the Hall of Records before they close and pull these files. And she's just like, I'm charging you overtime. He's like, fine, fine, it's fine. Just get me the papers. We only have 2 days. So I think after he gets little information from you, and he says that he will kind of continue to get some info on his end. So I think kind of we gloss over that. And then he says, all right, what is your ideal end game here? Do you just want the sale to not go through? Would you prefer that your friend own the place at the end of this?
Preferably Rigney would own the place, because the person who owns it now seems more than willing to get rid of it.
Yes, I think I can arrange that with the right paperwork and signatures on the correct forms. Don't worry about the money. Money's already changed hands. I just need to make it look like it came from different places.
I see.
He just kind of like shrugs a little and is like, you don't get to be the top real estate attorney in a city like Duskwall if you play by the rules.
I think we will get along well in that regard.
The only thing that I can't really come up with on my own is the deed to the building. That's a very official document, and if we want this to be ironclad, we're going to need that.
Although, won't it be questioned how you came to be in possession of that document?
No, that'll go into my whole... Part of the argument I'm going to be making here is that the current landlord didn't actually have standing to sell it, because he didn't actually have the deed, because you're going to take it. It's sort of complex, but basically by him not having the deed, it'll help our case.
I see.
And potentially slow things down. If nothing else, it'll buy us a little bit of time if Milo has to scramble around to find that. He kind of rubs his hands together.
Excellent.
So, I hate to be the one to bring this up, but you're doing this for us pro bono?
You know, I got so wrapped up in the idea of sticking it to Milo that I sort of forgot about payment. His assistant outside, you just hear a thunk as her head hits the desk. I am afraid I would need to charge you. Normally, for something like this, I would charge 4 coin a week, but this being a rush job, I would actually normally charge more for that. I think typically we'd be looking at 6 coin for something like this. However, You are granting me an opportunity that I very rarely get. Milo deliberately avoids cases where I am involved because he's a coward who won't face me. Anyway.
Makes giggles.
I will, let's just say 3 coin for this.
I see. I think we can manage that.
And he will also tell you, also, you do not pay me until the job is done. So you do not have to pay anything up front. Once I have settled all of this for you and your friend, then you will pay me. Also, I think it might be easiest, because I'm going to need some information from your friend, Mr. Rigney, as well. I may just, I'll check with him, but save you a trip as well, may just set up in his bar and operate out of there for the next couple days. I haven't been down to Night Market in a while.
Yes, well, we would be glad to see you there.
All right. Well, yes, I think if you can get me the deed to the property, I can handle the rest.
Then it's a deal.
Wonderful. This is going to be fun.
As they leave, Minx is like, "Hey, we're helping out with a spurned lover revenge scene."
It does rather fit our mandate, doesn't it?
It definitely fits mine.
Do you all want to start working on gathering some info about how to obtain the deed to a property?
Yes.
Who owns said property?
So this you would be able to get from Rigney.
Yes.
The owner is named Lucas Sharon.
Okay.
Landlord, he owns a few properties in Night Market and rents them out to, you know, businesses, apartments, that sort of thing. Pretty typical setup from what Rigney has said.
How would we go about tracking down his other properties?
There's records that you could look up in Charter Hall.
I'm thinking we figure out another property of his, stage some sort of problem at said property to get him to go there. And then while he is out, we slip in and retrieve the deed.
Okay.
Provided it's in his home, which it may not be.
Yeah.
Research isn't really my thing, so.
What I want to roll a study to get a feel for how Milo operates, just in the off chance that he interferes early, what to expect from him.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think also, I think Josie had the idea of somebody checking the records in Charter Hall, but it sounded like not wanting Minx to do that herself.
I mean, yes. Myra's definitely done that in the past, so I can take that if you want.
Yeah, and then maybe Minx can scout out his place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, then let's actually start with Myra, hitting up the records hall.
That is a critical.
What?
I rolled nice. 4 dice and got 2 sixes.
On a study roll?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, so you are able to find information about all the properties that he owns. I think including the recently filed, I guess, contract bill of sale for the Hound's Paw. And that includes some information about what's going to happen to the place. Lord Mora is planning on tearing it down and building a building of like multiple shops and apartments and things on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that that's kind of what's happening with the Hound's Paw. You also find that he owns like a building that has a like stationery store. Sells, you know, papers and ink and pens and has a couple apartments above it. And then a high-end cobbler shoe shop that also has an apartment above it. It seems to be kind of the kind of building, because the Hound's Paw has an apartment over it where Rigney lives. So it seems to be that's sort of his setup where he will rent a building to somebody where they can live and work in the same space.
Gotcha.
So, you got a critical. Is there any other information that you would like on that, Myra?
Yeah, I mostly wanted to know, like, are we looking at his house or at an office for trying to find this stuff?
Oh, yeah, probably it seems like the landlording is his primary source of income now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're guessing probably at his house.
Okay, that makes sense.
There doesn't seem to be anything. Yeah, doesn't seem like he has a business address listed on any of these. So let's then go to Minx, who is scoping out Mr. Charon's house.
Yes. I actually kind of want to scope out several properties, if I can.
Okay, yeah. What do you want to... do you want to, like, look at his house and then the places he owns?
Yes.
Yeah, go for it. It's all of them are in Night Market, so you can just kind of stroll around.
Cool. I'm going to roll survey. I got a 6.
Okay. Good score for you all so far.
Don't jinx it.
So, yeah, he's got a nice townhome in Night Market. And then the other two businesses that he rents out look pretty similar to the Hound's Paw, just in terms of, like, the clientele that they're aimed at. Like, the Hound's Paw is kind of a middle to upper middle class sports bar, which makes the fact that you all picked it as your hangout spot wild in retrospect.
Yeah, we don't do a sport.
A little bit, just a smidge. So the other two are kind of aimed at a similar clientele. You know, they both seem to be pretty successful businesses. You know, you go and hang out outside of both of them for a little bit, and there's a good number of people coming in and out. The businesses are both operating well, which means, in this context, that they are both, you know, steady sources of income.
Right.
Which is probably why he felt like he could get away with selling off one of his buildings, especially if he's getting Myra would have been able to see that Lord Mora paid handsomely for this property. Like, a lot of money.
Yeah.
More than it's probably worth.
This is also spite motivated, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit of spite, yeah. You all did recently kill one of his compatriots, so there's maybe a little bit of vengeance happening here. Yeah, is there anything in particular that you would like to learn about any of these buildings, Minx?
Honestly, given kind of how mundane they are, I think we can probably just go in through the house and not worry about it.
Okay.
I think Minx had the idea and checked it out, and it didn't pan out this time.
Yeah. Did you want to get anything in particular about his house?
Yeah, general layout and if there's any security measures that I can see.
Yeah. So it looks like it's a pretty typical, like, Night Market brick townhome. Sort of a narrower building, 3 stories tall. From what you can see of the security, you can kind of see that there's definitely some Sparkcraft security on the place. Doesn't appear to have any, like, security guards on staff. He doesn't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but it looks like he's got a pretty solid Sparkcraft security system that would set off alarms and alert any nearby patrolling bluecoats that something is amiss.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah. It might be a fairly simple breaking and enter. Like, I feel like a current plan would be to break in, take a bunch of other stuff.
Oh yeah, so he doesn't realize that.
Yeah, and not that we specifically targeted the deed.
I mean, that way we can also profit for once.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We're actually gonna ransack a place. What the hell?
Okay, and then Blair, you wanted to follow up on Milo and his deal is.
Yeah, I actually already rolled earlier. I got a 3, 4, 5.
Okay, so a 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you ask, like, I'm picturing the next morning, like, you all kind of check in at the Hound's Paw, and Nicholas has already set up at one of the tables. Rigney is a little bemused by this situation. He was not actually expecting this to happen, but, like, I think when you all get there, the two of them are talking, and Rigney is, like, answering a bunch of questions about the building and about his landlord and things like that. He will wrap up his conversation with Rigney and then we'll start chatting with you about what Milo's operating style is like as a lawyer. I think that the 5 here is reflective of the fact that you kind of have to take a lot of what he says with a grain of salt.
Yes.
Because he is more than happy to exaggerate any flaws. He does say that Milo is very organized. Like, he will begrudgingly admit that Milo is good at his job. And he's been on retainer for Lord Mora for a while now. And he, I think, in particular, wants to make sure that this deal goes smoothly. This was kind of unbeknownst to all of you. And Nick still has not made the connection of who you all actually are. But the Ink Row deal was a thing that Milo would have worked on. And so he lost out on that because that all fell apart because of all of you. So I think that Nicholas suspects that he's going to be very determined to make sure that this goes smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas is like, and I am equally determined to make sure that it blows up in the street.
I'm just trying to keep on the lookout for any updated autopsy reports that are coming our way.
So you've got a target. I'm guessing this is going to stealth?
Yes.
Yes.
Engagement roll. All right, that is a 5.
Ugh.
Phew.
Starting, the other one was a 2. So, you are going to be starting in a risky position. Kind of spend that day after you meet Nicholas doing your research. I think you talk to him and Rigney about the plan. Leave the two of them chatting at the Hound's Paw. And you gear up. Make your way out into Night Market again, head over to another townhome. It feels kind of similar to the other score that you did recently.
I was getting deja vu.
But as you're making your way over, all three of you start to get the feeling that you're being followed.
How so?
It's hard to pin down. It's a little bit of like that, just that like, you see things out of the corner of your eye, like movement, that when you turn, there's nothing there. That hair on the back of your neck standing up, feeling like somebody's watching you.
Ugh.
Nothing solid that you can pin down, but it's just a feeling. But nothing happens as you make your way.
Can I look into the ghost field?
Yeah, I think that you get to the townhome, and Blair, you kind of decide to check around before heading in. So yeah, go ahead and do that. It's going to be risky.
651.
6. Okay. Sorry, I got to read about something here.
That's okay.
You kind of stop near the back of the house. You know, I think Minx and Myra are probably looking up at the windows and quietly discussing the best way in. And Blair, you look back and into the ghost field and kind of scan the area behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty typical. There's, you know, a lot of the fainter outlines of living people. There's a handful of ghosts drifting around. There's, you know, little dots here and there of various little occult charms that people have tucked away. And then you kind of let your gaze drift up a little bit and looks like on the roof of a building, a couple buildings back. So your regular sight, you wouldn't be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ghost field, you can. There is a humanoid figure that is just blindingly bright in the ghost field.
Oh. And I've seen this before, haven't I?
You have seen it before. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
But way back in season one.
Uh-huh.
When you all attacked that ship that was stopped out in the harbor, that's where you got the Eye of Kotar, something was attacking the crew and the Umbra Hunters who came on to stop you. And as you were leaving, you saw a figure standing on the deck that looked a lot like that. Very, very bright.
Wow, that's a hell of a callback.
Yeah, I don't know how I remembered that, but I just knew that having the out-of-character information that I have, knowing that Blair has seen this before.
Yeah, but I don't think Blair knows what it is, necessarily. I don't know if she...
Yeah, I don't think she knows what it is either, but do you think she would make the connection like, oh, I've seen this before a long time ago?
I think so, yeah. I think she would remember that she's seen it before,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't know what it is. She didn't know what it was then, and she doesn't know what it is now.
Okay, Blair's going to take her mask off and just say,
we're being tailed.
By whom?
I don't know, but something on the roof's following us.
Something. I can't help but notice the terminology there.
I don't know if it's a person. It's not a ghost either. It's something in between. or something more. I can't really tell.
Could it be Ojal?
No.
Out of character, does Ojal have a signature? She must, right?
I don't think that you had a chance to look at her in the ghost field.
Although we did encounter Hulls before.
Yes, I think that, yeah, because, like, Hulls are around in the city. So, Blair, I think that you would know that Hulls look like just a glowing, a brightly glowing point, just kind of floating in space. Like, the Hull body doesn't show up in the ghost field at all because it's just made of metal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, actually, I take that back. So what you see is there's like this glowing central point, and then there's the lines that carry the electroplasm out. So it looks like a network of veins almost running out through whatever form.
Oh, I see. It's very webby.
Kinda, yeah.
It's like you're seeing the circuitry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It looks very different than this. This is just a humanoid figure that is solidly glowing very brightly. So you're pretty sure not a Hull.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Blair's going to relay all that back to the group and just be like,
Hulls are different from this.
I don't think we can press on knowing that's there.
I don't know how we'll get to it, though. We'll probably spook it off.
Well, if it spooks away, then that is good for us.
Do you think we should get rid of it before we get closer to the house?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not really comfortable with that following us.
Where precisely is it?
The rooftops. Behind us, a couple leagues back. Does anyone have any ideas?
If we look, can we see it also?
If you two look into the ghost field, yeah, you don't have to roll a tune now that Blair has kind of told you what to look for. Yeah, you can both see it.
Interesting.
So I say we just ascend to a rooftop and get its attention.
As quietly as we can, the more time we could buy getting closer to it, the more time I can study it.
Yes. Okay. I say we move a little bit towards the house, duck into a side alley, and then climb up to the roof as best we can.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so plan is to climb up to the roof, try and deal with this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I'm going to need a roll for climbing up to a roof.
Group prowl, perhaps?
Yeah, that would make sense. Does somebody want to mark climbing gear?
Yes, I can.
Who wants to lead it?
I can lead.
Okay. Well, I got threes, so...
I got a five.
I got a five, so I'm only marking one stress.
Woo. Yeah, 1 point of stress, and the result is a five. So you do it, but there's a consequence. So I think that... Are you getting onto the roof of the house that you're robbing, or, like, next door?
I would say next door.
Yeah.
Okay, so you climb up onto the roof. Kind of, you know, you're going slow and quiet. You make it up. And I think that you all kind of, like, you get up there and you check the ghost field to see where this thing is, and it's not where you left it.
Where is it?
Well, you all kind of have a moment of panic and look around very frantically, and then you see the light of it kind of coming down from what looks like a pretty impressive jump, and it lands on the opposite end of the roof from all of you.
Oh, no.
It's on the same roof as you.
I think Minx is gonna kind of recoil in fright and stammer out, hello?
So if you are looking with your normal sight, not ghost vision, it's hard to make out a lot of distinguishing features.
Hmm.
The person is wearing a fairly nice form-fitting coat that goes down to like mid-calf. They have a hood up that is shielding a lot of their face. And a voice that you do not recognize says, I hadn't expected the opportunity for payback so soon. But I suppose when it falls into my lap.
Oh, dear.
Who are you?
Yes, that doesn't exactly narrow it down.
Kind of. They'd sort of landed in a crouch, and they slowly straighten up and start slowly moving towards you and say, well, I suppose you wouldn't recognize me anymore after what you did to my body.
Oh, dear.
What was your name?
And I think that they are close enough now. Again, like, you can see the face. It's a random Akarosian person Like, they have light skin, that's kind of all you can tell, but they give you this horrible, toothy slasher smile and just say, "Teslin." And she's going to lunge.
Oh, no. At
Minx. So I'm going to need. She's trying to tackle you off the roof, so I will need you to roll resistance to keep from being hurled three stories to the alley below.
Okay, that's a prowess resist. What does a devil's bargain look like?
So this devil's bargain is submitted by Patreon backer Chrism Phoenix. Thank you, Chrism. And the bargain is, the death bell tolls, but not for you. Spirit wardens are in the area already for a simple pickup. Huh. So you've got a vampire, and there would be spirit wardens nearby who might take notice of this situation.
But at the same time, they might help with the vampire.
They might.
Two things, though. Yeah, you
know what? Uh-huh.
Here's my hang-up about reporting them to the Bluecoats, which is... But, sorry, no, not the Bluecoats. My hang-up's on reporting them to the Spirit Wardens. One, would the Spirit Wardens recognize Blair? And two, I had a second point. I'm trying to remember it.
I mean, the fact that Blair carries ghosts on her at any given time is a pretty good counter-argument.
But yeah, it's up to you, Josie.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. The second thing is that it's all going to depend on how fast we put two and two together in character.
Right.
You all know that this is some kind of spooky occult shit. You may not exactly have the word vampire, but you know it's spooky occult shit.
I imagine, like, there's kind of a cultural perception of vampires, right? But it's probably just, like, Bram Stoker kind of stuff. We don't, like, know that this is how vampires happen, unless you're Blair.
I think that it is known that vampires happen when a spirit possesses a dead body.
Okay.
They can feed on a lot of things. They need to feed on mortals, but it's not necessarily blood. I think that is a thing that is kind of a little bit of a stereotype.
Right.
But there are stories of other vampires that can feed on emotions or things like that.
Right. So, like, once we put it together that it's a vampire, we'll understand.
Yeah.
What that is.
You'll have, and they're also just, like, superhumanly powerful.
Right.
Yeah, so with all of that, do you want this bargain?
See, for Blair and Kim's sake, I don't think I can. You don't sound excited.
Well, no, I am excited. I'm just thinking. I mean, we could split up, even though that goes against the crew's ethos at this point.
No, you know what? Let's have an epic rooftop duel. I'm not going to take that.
Oh my god.
All right. So then go ahead and make your resistance roll. It will be prowess to keep from being hurled off the roof.
I got a 5.
5. Okay. So you're going to take 1 point of stress.
Okay.
You still, I think that that would have been like level 3 harm.
Uh-huh.
She's still, like, I think you have to brace yourself pretty hard, and, like, you still kind of skid backwards a bit, and she hits you hard. Like, you are pretty banged up from her just linebackering into you, and that's happening.
Oof. Whoever you're possessing is quite spry.
I don't, she doesn't seem to be interested in chatting at this point anymore. She
Minx
looks like
is.
She's, yeah, I mean, it's Minx. Yeah, what do people want to do?
I know Blair has to be more careful about this now, but I kind of want to unleash a ghost on her.
Oh, interesting.
Out of character, how would a vampire deal with that? Are they, like, equipped?
I don't know.
Because they can't, like, really
I have no
be
idea.
Repossessed.
I think it's going to be... It depends on what you want to do with the ghost. Do you want to ask it nicely to do something? Do you want to just unleash it and see what happens?
I can kind of see this being a command roll, but I'm also interested on just unleashing it and letting it do its thing.
Yeah, so I think just unleashing it is going to be a tune.
Okay.
Or you could try and do a command.
No, I have more in a tune.
All right. This is going to be risky, reduced effect.
Okay, that's a 5.
Okay, So you whip out one of your ghost jars, open it up, a ghost comes screaming out, and it doesn't seem to have any interest in Teslin.
At all.
Because that's a dead body. Dead bodies aren't really of any interest to a ghost, and ghosts can't eat each other.
Yeah.
Or the ghost problem would have cleared up years ago.
Yeah.
So it's gonna turn on you and Myra.
That's fine. I can deal with that.
So, yeah, I think the complication here is that you've added a hungry ghost to the mix.
That's fine. I can just talk to it and let it go away. Or coerce it back into the jar, whatever. Whichever actually works.
How is Minx doing with this situation?
She's still not quite sure what to make of it.
Minx is holding her own.
Okay.
She's not been thrown off the roof, but, like, it's clearly, like, a struggle. So.
Silly. But, like, are there any, like, folk superstitions about what you can do to a vampire?
Oh, like silver or holy symbols or the like?
Garlic.
Yeah. Garlic.
I just like the idea of her trying that. But I don't know what it would be that she would have on hand.
Let me see here. You could try a spirit bane charm. Vampires are exceedingly rare. In legend, vampires were destroyed by the rays of the sun. Since the sun was shattered by the cataclysm, this is no longer possible.
Could I make a deduction that fire might work?
Yeah.
I'm gonna try fire, and if that doesn't work, at least I'll set her on fire.
So the book doesn't have anything about specific myths. So if you would like to make up some kind of folklore about vampires, you can do that, or you can just try and set her on fire.
Yes.
Counting stuff.
Count it. Oh!
Yes! Yes, please! Yes. I want to try this dumb plan on the...
That's why Vlad Dad is so particular.
That's my favorite vampire superstition. I can't believe I didn't think of it. What do I have that I could just scatter everywhere? Oh, boy.
Pebbles.
I feel like burglary gear might have, like, you know, the classic ball bearings you scatter everywhere. I don't know if that's true.
I'll allow it. Yeah, so if you mark that you have burglary gear, I will let you attempt this. Risky, reduced effect. God, I don't even know what this would be in terms of an action.
I don't even know, my dude. Skirmish,
maybe finesse.
Honestly, I could see a case for sway.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I think it's sway.
Yeah.
Well, I rolled a crit.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I rolled two dice and they both came up 6. The gods want this.
Oh my god.
I love it.
You made a gamble and you lost.
I did. I was literally sitting here being like, the only way this is actually gonna work is if she gets a critical, which you did, so I am beholden to the promise I made myself. So describe what this, how do you do this?
Oh god.
And then I will describe her reaction.
Okay, so I scatter basically a bunch of, like, jacks on the floor.
you're on a roof.
On the roof.
So I'm picturing that, like, it's a sloped roof and you all are kind of up on the, like, the top edge. And so I think that they kind of scatter down and some of them catch on the tiles. And I can't believe this fucking worked. Is, like, struggling with Minx, hears this clattering of many small objects, kind of looks away, does a double take, shoves Minx away, and scurries after them, and starts, like, frantically collecting them, and, like, you can hear muttering, counting under her breath as she's picking them up.
You're kidding.
She got a critical.
You didn't have to make it work in
that particular... By
it's just
virtue.
No, I understand mechanically.
By virtue of the dice, this has been willed into truth.
I understand the mechanics. The mental image is just extremely hilarious to me.
I mean, it's a silly superstition.
It's the best.
Because the thing they usually would advise is to, like, dump rice on your porch. And the vampire would have to sit there and count all the rice, and then the sun would come up and they would burn.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's a distraction. It's not like a fix. So somebody has to capitalize
on this.
Yeah,
this is distracting her. This is not solving the problem.
Minx kind of just looks at Myra like, what's going on?
Well, I feel like at this point, that's when it clicks for Blair and Minx, because I think you would both be familiar with that particular piece of vampire legend where you're like, wait, vampires do that? Wait, she's a vampire?
Wait, did I just guess that she was a vampire? I'm sorry.
In that case, I have a very important Minx reaction.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Teslin, you're a vampire now? What kind of self-respecting vampire looks like that? Where is your black lace high collar? Where is your crimson cape? I'm very disappointed in you.
What did you say that you had dropped, Minna?
Basically,
like ball bearings or tacks?
I'm just picturing them being like those jacks that you play kids' games with. I don't know why she has those on her
caltrops.
Person.
Little pointy caltrops.
Yeah, I guess they're caltrops.
She has a handful of those, and she throws them at you, Minx.
And yes, Minx, I feel like it fits her reckless nature to waste her action fretting over the fashion of the situation.
Yeah. Goading the fucking vampire. So yeah, she throws them at you. I think you're going to take level one harm.
But I can resist that, right?
You can, yeah. She's throwing them with vampire strength, so, like, it hits with a lot more speed and force than you would expect.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna roll prowess resist, like, not the face!
Yeah, basically.
I got a 6.
Okay, yeah, so you manage to dodge out, you duck, and they go sailing over your head. But, like, it was close. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she is, for the moment, distracted. What would you like to do with this particular moment?
I think I want to turn the tables, and knowing that the body she's possessing is dead now, try and bull rush her off the roof. This may not go well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a wreck.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
And I'm going to push myself on it.
Okay, so it's going to be risky, reduced effect.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to push myself to increase effect instead.
Okay.
Got a 5.
So you bull rush her, and I think she'd kind of gotten close to the edge of the roof because some of these had slid down into the gutter. So you hit her, and she starts to go over the side, and she grabs onto you to take you down with her. And I think you manage to, as she's trying to drag you down with her, scrabble around and grab onto the gutter. So you're hanging onto the gutter with your hands, and she's hanging onto your legs.
Oh, dear.
So you are in a desperate position, hanging on for dear life with a vampire on your legs.
Bit of help, dears.
Yeah. So, Myra, yeah, Blair?
Yeah, Blair's going to rush over to help. I just don't know what that help looks like.
Right, I forgot that there was another ghost flitting around up there, too. That'll come into play, I'm sure.
Oh, right. Should I clean that up first before I help?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to have it available as a potential consequence?
I do not. Okay, yeah, let me clean up that mess. Minna, are you okay with going after Josie? Okay.
I feel like Blair starts to run towards the edge of the roof and then gets really cold as this ghost, like, moves in on her and she's like, ah!
Yep, that's exactly what happens. She's like, ah! Oh, jeez! Totally forgot about it.
Yes, so did I.
Yeah, I'm just gonna push myself and roll consort for this one. Just try to talk it down.
Back into the jar?
Yeah, like usual.
It's going to be risky. Standard effect for this, since this is a regular old ghost.
Okay, great. 4 and a 6.
6, okay. Yeah, I think it takes some coaxing, but you're able to convince the ghost, like, no, back in the jar. I'm sorry.
Sweetheart? Baby?
It will eventually go back in the jar.
Get in!
Is he just, like, talking to it like a cat?
Yeah. So while Blair's arguing with a ghost, Myra, what are you doing?
I am trying to haul Minx back over the edge of the roof.
Okay. That is going to be, I think, a prowl, most likely.
Okie doke.
Risky position, and again, reduced effect, because you're not just hauling Minx. She has another person.
Gonna push myself for better effect.
Okay.
That's a six.
I mean, so you haul Minx up, but I think, like, Teslin is still hanging on to her. So Teslin comes up too, and I think once she is kind of within arm's reach of the gutter, kind of launches herself away from Minx and grabs the roof and pulls herself back up as well. And kind of moves a few steps away from you. Looks like she is regrouping the same way that you are as well at this point. So you still have an angry vampire looking for revenge, interfering with your ability to just steal a couple pieces of paper. And probably some other stuff. You were going to lift some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
But
Minx is going to groan and be like, at least you're wearing a cloak while doing these acrobatics.
Minx's priorities are flawless, really.
Yeah. And she's also, like, maybe trying not to focus. The person she put a lot of emotional energy into killing is standing in front of her again.
Yeah.
Anything to avoid revisiting the trauma.
Yep.
Huh. What do I want to do? So, real quick, we're on a sloped tiled roof?
Basically.
Okay, I'm trying to think what I would reasonably have when preparing for a normal house heist that could be used to knock tiles loose.
Burglary gear? That would have a crowbar.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Crowbar time.
Yeah.
Instead of attacking her, I'm going to take her footing away.
Okay. So you're going to try and knock the tiles out from under her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So this is still going to be risky position, reduced effect. You're basically dealing with a vampire. You're kind of always going to be at reduced effect.
Mm-hmm. That's a two.
That is a two. I'm going to put this, I'm going to crowdsource this one. So vampires in Blades in the Dark feed on life essence, and kind of think stereotypically it would be by drinking blood, but most vampires actually do not. They drain life essence in other forms. Could be a particular emotion, it could be memories, it could be anything like that, it could be energy. What do we think Teslin feeds on?
Social power.
In that case, I think maybe like fear or desperation?
Yeah. Although I almost like the idea that, like, so that she, like, can temporarily damage your, like, reputation. Like, people, if she feeds on you, you just have this aura that people just, like, don't want to talk to you as much. Like, they're just put off from you.
She feeds on charisma.
Yeah! Yeah! I like that! That's really cool!
No! That makes her the bane of every single one of my characters!
I know!
That's why she's such a good nemesis for you!
Yeah!
You played yourself!
So, and vampires, they leave some kind of mark on their victims. So you'd gotten a two. And so I think you start trying to take out the tiles under her feet. You're swinging this crowbar, and she kind of jumps backwards away from the tiles that you're knocking down. And then she, I think, just jumps and tackles you and, like, pins you down and has her hand, like, over your face.
Oh, dear.
And Minx, you can feel, like, something being drained out of you. I think that you end up with, like,
maybe just, like, a lack of confidence behind the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. A little bit glazed over, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I think that works. I was trying to think of something that would kind of be representative of that sort of off-putting feeling. So, yeah, I think that it's just, like, yeah, when she pulls her hands away, like, you can still see fine. mm-hmm. Minx, but anybody who would be looking at you would see kind of this glassy-eyed, a little bit unfocused, vacant expression to you. So you're going to take, this is going to be level 2 harm, charisma drained, basically.
I'm going to resist.
Yeah, this is going to be with resolve.
Okay, critical.
Okay, so you managed to partly fend this off. It's going to drop down to a level 1 harm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be at reduced effect on anything that's going to be kind of based on your ability to be charming and sociable.
Right. I also heal a point of stress.
You also overcome a point of stress. So tell me how does that work? Like, how do you kind of mentally fight this off?
Well, I think it's just raw force of vanity. Just like, you will never take my charm.
Like, just absolute petty.
Yes.
I love that. That's very good.
Like, Minx's voice is a little softer and a little harder to make out, but she's like, you don't even drink blood. You're such a shitty vampire.
That's not what vampires do in the
same. But it's what we understand them to do.
Yeah, I love the idea that Minx has read a bunch of, like, trashy dime novel stories.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that is 100% her conception of what they're supposed to be, like, and she's so disappointed.
Yes.
Read, like, what is it? Anne Rice books of Duskfall?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Now, we can go, like, full on, we can get pretty close to Twilight here. Like, Minx doesn't have.
I mean, why not? Sure.
Minx doesn't have standards when it comes to romance novels.
There's definitely like a Twilight equivalent of like a young adult tragic vampire versus werewolf kind of thing in this setting. Course.
Oh my god.
Like, the one
yeah.
standard she has is make it gay or make things ambiguous enough that she can squint her eyes and make it gay. That's her one standard.
Jesus. Okay, so Minx got jumped by this vampire and had her charisma partially drained. Blair, Myra, Minx is being pinned down by Vampire Teslin. She still has her hand over Minx's face, and Minx is just kind of flailing and yelling at her about how she's a shitty vampire and has no fashion. What would you two like to do?
At this point, would you say I've completely gotten the ghost in the jar now?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I think you got like a 5 or a 6 on that roll previously, so you're good.
Is like, this is going to end so poorly because I'm so squishy, but would you say Teslin is distracted enough that I could sneak up behind her and I could try to do a stab?
You can try, yeah.
I feel like Prowl makes the most sense to sneak up on her to do a stab.
Yeah, yeah. If you are trying to do an ambush.
Yes, that's exactly
Prowl
what I'm doing.
Prowl is good.
Devil's Bargain.
I think that you're gonna, in whatever ends up happening here, you end up losing the blade that you use.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, you'll be able to replace it before your next score, but just you will not have access to it for the rest of this one.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah, I think it's a pretty expendable blade that Blair brings along with her for this one, not any of her like fancy ritual ones. Okay, that's a 5.
Okay, so where on her person are you trying to stab her?
You know, I can just super picture Blair just like spider monkeying onto her back and trying to go for the neck.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, so I think you jump on her and start trying to stab her in the neck. Mm-hmm. She jerks upright, releasing Minx, which is a bonus. You do manage to, I think, slash her across the side of the neck once before she like grabs you by the wrist and like twists your wrist really sharply and uh-huh. like just forces you to drop the blade and it goes skittering off and falls off the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then while still holding your wrist, she just grabs you and throws you just off. Across the roof. Not off the roof.
Okay.
You were rolling risky, not desperate. Desperate would be clear off the roof.
Yeah. Just yeet.
Yeah. She yeets you across the roof And you are going to take level 2 harm, battered, as you've just been hurled, and like, your wrist is messed up, you've been thrown across a roof, like, you're just in bad shape physically.
What can I roll to resist that?
Prowess.
Okay, 2, 1, 5.
5, okay, you'll take 1 stress, and you can reduce that to level 1 harm.
All right,
And so I think what Minx and Myra notice is that cut on her neck, it's not really bleeding. It looks like, you know, she cut a corpse.
Oh, that's so cool.
Bothering her some, she kind of puts her hand over it, but it's not bleeding.
Hmm.
So, Myra, I believe you have not acted recently, if you'd like to try and do something to deal with this situation.
Okey-doke. I don't know what to do with a vampire.
I mean, normally my answer would be smooch, but not in this case.
Unfortunately, no.
I feel like we need a plan.
So this came up a little bit earlier. Part of the traditional vampire lore is that they were harmed by sunlight.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. I think I'm going to try the classic fire barrier, which I use entirely too much.
Mm-hmm, it's a solid one.
So I do have a lantern, so let me mark that off. So I'm going to try spilling lamp oil in an arc between her and us and lighting it on fire. Preferably caging her in on her end of the roof.
Okay.
Okay. What is that going to be?
I would say finesse, potentially.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that is going to require some pretty precise aiming and movements.
Google's dice roller really likes me. It's just critted. Again?
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 Good lord. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna just say, tell me how you managed to use this fire to drive her off.
I think actually it does mean she can't, like, surge towards us. I like run towards the edge of the roof and like start an arc there and just like I'm spilling the oil, like shaking it out, and like it's in a half circle around her with the open end on the edge of the roof. And then I set it on fire, and I don't know how she reacts because that's up to you.
Yeah, so I think that she's, like, lunging for you, and then the fire goes, and it just flares upwards. And I think this is a little bit similar to the counting thing, where she hasn't been a vampire for very long. She is still learning what she can and cannot do. Things she can do. Drain people of their charisma and jump, like, 2 blocks in a single bound. Things she can't do, resist the urge to count, and pass through fire. I think that she just, like, instinctively recoils and hisses, and I think as she's doing that, her cloak kind of flares out, and it, like, the edge of her cloak catches fire, and she just panics. And I think she just jumps away to a different roof, and you can see her kind of, the flame sort of trailing behind her. I think she, like, at halfway down the next roof, just rips the cloak off and leaves it behind. So she just books it. And you are now standing on a roof that's on fire. The roof that she jumped onto, also on fire. Oh, somebody tell me odds or evens.
Evens.
All right, you're in luck. She did not set the house that you're trying to get into on fire.
That's good.
I was just like, y'all were next door to that. She could have jumped onto his house.
Yeah.
But I decided to give it a 50-50 chance, and she did not. So she is fleeing away. There's 2 roofs that are on fire now, but not the one that you need. The house you need is currently not on fire.
How are we breaking in?
You were going to try and go in through a second story window.
Mm-hmm.
Be classic.
Well, we're already on the roof. We can just... And I still have my climbing gear, so should we just, like, jump over the roof and then climb into the window? Second story?
Yeah, let's freaking do it.
Yep.
Okay. I think I'm going to need a roll kind of for that whole maneuver.
I can lead a group action.
Please. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Prowl, probably.
Yes. And this is going to be, I think it's going to be controlled position, standard effect.
Well, I got a 2 again.
I got a 4.
Whew. Okay, I got a 6.
So, Myra's gonna take 1 stress, but you do it. you all, using ropes and stuff, are able to jump across, climb down, I think pop a top floor window and climb inside. I think that as you get inside, you start to hear shouting from like the street outside of people being like, oh God, fire, fire, call for the brigade. So people outside are reacting to the fire now.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Let's make this quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Minx is grumbling the whole time about Tesla being back and her being a shitty vampire and draining my gorgeous beauty and not even taking blood. And I wanted to be pinned down like by a vampire, but not like this. And fuck her. And killed her. And she was supposed to be dead.
Minx.
Oh. Minx. Huh?
You can rant about Tesla after the score.
Very well, dears. Very well. Mm-hmm. Business first.
Blair's just going to pat her on the shoulder like, there.
Aww.
Okay. So, just as a refresher, your plan had been that you were going to just kind of ransack the place to make it look like it was just a standard break-in, so it wouldn't be as obvious that you had taken the deed. So if you all still want to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Ransacking.
I think we should locate the deed first before ransacking.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Can I get odds or evens again from somebody?
Odds.
My Minna said odds. Okay, once again, you're in luck. He's
no,
not
no,
home.
No.
Never told
you
me
can't
the
tell
odds.
Us the odds.
Thank you. Very good.
Anyway, okay, so he is not home, and I'm going to say, yeah, you all can make some rolls to find the deed. It is reasonable to assume it's in his study.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you that, but you're going to have to spend some time searching.
I will happily study about it.
Okay.
Same.
Go ahead. This is going to be, for the moment, controlled for Josie.
Well, I got
what'd you get?
Two.
Two. Okay.
Oh, no.
So the result of that, of those two roles combined, is, Minx finds the deed. There's a, like, one of the bottom drawers on the desk is locked, but it's a super cheap lock that you can basically just brute force open.
Mm-hmm.
Rifle through the papers, find the deed. Awesome. As you find it, you can kind of hear distantly the clanging bells of the brigade approaching and more shouting outside. It seems like the fire that Myra set is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm starting a clock.
Why?
Because they're fun. One out of five, the brigade and the bluecoats arrive on the scene. So that is where you're at this moment. Mm-hmm. You've got the deed, though. You could just go now, or you can take some extra time to try to ransack the place, make it, you know, cover this up.
I think we have time to shove things in a sack.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure we do.
Okay. Yeah. So go ahead and everybody... I'm imagining that you're all going to kind of fan out mm-hmm. for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so each of you give me some kind of roll for how you are going about the ransacking.
I am going to roll wreck.
Yep.
Because I'm not being subtle or careful about it.
Yep, that makes sense.
I got a six.
Minx, I think you, because you used wreck, you're at a little bit of a penalty in terms of how much valuables you're actually able to acquire, because you are mostly focused on breaking things, mm-hmm. I think. You basically end up only grabbing one coin worth of stuff, but you do a fucking number on this place. Knocking things over, furniture thrown askew, clothes ripped out of wardrobes, throw open the cabinets and start breaking plates, because why not? You've got some complicated, angry feelings to work out. And you lay down a lot of mess to confuse any future investigation.
Right.
So in that, you are highly effective. Who wants to go next, Myra or Blair?
I'm going to go ahead and study about it, because I want to look for, like, valuables and do kind of precision strikes on those.
Okay.
I just rolled another two.
Yeah, I think on a two, you spend a lot of time. I think I'm also going to give you a one die roll on that to see how much coin you get. Also, only one coin worth of stuff. I think that you just, like, you get caught up in looking at some of his, like, business papers, trying to figure out what this guy's deal is. you know, maybe there's something useful you can take back to Nicholas, but you get distracted. You only manage to grab one small valuable, and it takes time. So we're ticking that clock up again.
Yep.
Now at 2 out of 5. Blair.
You know, I don't actually picture Blair being too strategic about it either. So I think I actually want to roll wreck as well, even though I have nothing in it. And I don't think I've ever rolled wreck before.
Yeah, ever. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay, that's a 4.
You also are kind of following Minx's model of breaking shit, but you're actually looking at stuff before you break it.
Yes.
Rolled a 6. So you find something that's worth 3 coin.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know what that something is. Or it might be multiple somethings, but you find loot that is worth 3 coin.
Cursed object, please?
I mean, one of it can be a cursed object. Yay. Sure. And you got a 4, you said?
Yes.
We're going to tick the clock up once more.
What's the clock at now?
It is at 3 out of 5.
Okay.
But you have thoroughly trashed this place between Blair and Minx. You know, this looks pretty bad. But at this point, you all, like, the clanging bells of the brigade and the blue coats are getting louder. You can hear people shouting outside. It sounds like people are trying to organize a bucket brigade to start dealing with it. Myra has just probably burned down an innocent bystander's home, so.
In my defense, there was a vampire.
I mean, these things happen. Yeah, so if you're good with your loot, do you want to just book it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that since they're still 2 ticks away on the clock, and you all do have in your crew equipment, you've got the from your Shadows days, you do still have those maps for underground passages and things. I think that you're able to just kind of slip down into the catacombs and make your way back across Night Market that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you got the deed, you got some goods. I'm imagining, and you all can correct me if this is wrong, but I'm imagining you would probably go straight to the Hound's Paw to give the deed to Nicholas so he can start working his lawyerly magic.
Yes.
All right. So it's, you know, fairly late in the evening, I think, when you get there. The Hound's Paw looks kind of like it has the, you know, for the last few times that you've stopped in, only a couple lights on, everything else is sort of closed up. The front door's open, and I think that who is taking the lead here? Who goes in first?
I'm gonna go in first.
Okay, so Minx, you open up the door, and you see at the table that Nicholas has been sitting at, he's sitting there. His papers have kind of been sorted off to the side, and he's sitting there across the table from Rigney, and the two of them are, you know, sitting there chatting. They've got a bottle of wine between the two of them that's about half empty. They're laughing about something, and they both kind of look up in surprise when Minx bursts in.
Minx just gives like a Cheshire smile and then delivers the paper to Nick.
Oh, perfect. This is perfect. Why do you all smell like smoke?
It's best not to inquire about these things, dear.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah, Rigney is like, trust me, the less you know, the better. It's just overall better for your health. And he's just kind of like, well, I will trust the expert on this one. Winks at him. Rigney, visibly blushing.
Oh my gosh!
I think Minx has her hands to her cheeks again. And is just like...
He's trying to play it off like it's not happening, like he's not reacting to it at all, but like...
Myra very gently elbows Minx.
Oh, yes. Well, hopefully this is enough to make our case.
Yes, I can. I had a lot of the paperwork prepped already. I just need to fill in some blanks, and this will help me do that, and then I will file some things in the morning, and this should it's gonna take a few more days, I think, but this will at least delay the proceedings. You won't be evicted tomorrow. He says to Rigney, who looks very relieved. and he's like, yeah, I think that there's gonna be some arguing back and forth, lots of paperwork, but I'm pretty confident that I can get ownership transferred to Kaylin here.
Do we get to observe?
Oh, it's not really going to be. It's not that sort of trial thing. Yes, it's just me and the opposing counsel sitting in a conference room shouting at each other and quoting different legal precedent. Yeah, it's...
I do miss courtroom drama, though.
When would you have been involved in any kind of courtroom proceedings? Were you sued?
You'd be surprised.
Rigney is once again just like vigorously shaking his head and being like,
"We walk in many circles.
You don't want to know." I think Nicholas just kind of looks from like Rigney to the three of you back to Rigney and is like, "I'm going to assume that yes, I am better off not knowing the details. Thank you for getting this. Once this is all cleared up, I will collect my fee."
I'm going to go get cleaned up and try not to have nightmares about vampires. And then she'll turn to Rigney and wink knowingly.
What? Rigney barely notices. Rigney's just like, vampire? Minx? Minx, what are you talking about? Minx is already
better
gone.
Better off not to know.
No, Rigney. Riggs, you probably should know about this.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is this something that's going to cause problems?
No,
for me.
It shouldn't for you.
I didn't think vampires were real.
Well, they are. I can actually tell you a lot about them if you'd like.
I just need to know if it's going to cause a problem for me and my establishment and the people who visit my establishment or who work here.
No, we are going to do everything that we can to keep tabs on her.
Nicholas is just sitting there, like, staring at all of you.
Yeah, I think Myra's gonna turn to him and say, if this leaks, we do know who we've told about this.
Right, yes. No, you do not seem like the sort of people I want to cross, and also you're friends of Kaylin's here, and I...
First name basis. Riggs.
Rigney is just like, I think you have somewhere that you need to be now, Blair?
And Blair is putting two and two together. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Have a good time. We'll be seeing ya.
Oh my god, this poor man, he's just trying to have a date. He hasn't been on a date in so long, you guys.
The single dad life takes a toll on him.
Yep, so the three of you head out. I think that Myra, like, just as you pull the door closed, you hear Rigney just kind of, like, burst into sort of hysterical laughter.
Listen, if you meet a cute guy through the magpies, it will be chaotic.
Oh yeah, for sure. So the magpies all head back to the nest and clean up and stash their ill-gotten loot. And then, as they often do, kind of drift apart to take care of themselves and recover in various ways from the score. Some of that recovery is physical, some of it is mental and emotional. And while Myra and Minx are off elsewhere in the city, where do we find Blair?
So, Blair, as usual, is in her room, where she usually just works because that's the only space available to her to safely work, especially with extremely experimental and unstable projects such as this. Blair is working on the final stages of the first tests for her Recovering Ghosts long-term project. I imagine that there are just several vials and flasks scattered across the floor. She's working on the floor as she usually does, and just very carefully putting one drop into another. If there's any reaction, she records it. But there are, I would say, two concoctions that she hasn't tried yet, and she's deliberately kind of saving that for last for the evening because she knows those are the two most volatile. Her research suggests that it could give the most promising result that she's hoping for, but it's also very dangerous. So I think she's deliberately kind of procrastinating on that one.
Yeah, and I think, though, that eventually she kind of has to make a decision of like, either I put this all away and I call it a night and I put off these last two until another day, or I just do it.
And I think she's probably too wired up to sleep anyway. I feel like if she went to bed now, it would just be nudging at her and she wouldn't be able to get to sleep. Yeah, I think she's just going to do it.
Yeah, so again, kind of taking these different mixtures of you know, ghost drugs that she's obtained and other things that she's, you know, alchemicals that she has devised, and then starts combining them. And one of the vials that you have, when you add some of the mixture that you've made to the ghost drugs,
mm-hmm.
it starts vibrating in your hands, the flask.
Yeah.
And I think, does Blair hold on to it, or does she set it down when that starts?
When it's vibrating? I think she's still holding on.
Okay. Then it gets really cold in your hands,
uh-huh.
and you can, I think you've probably been looking into the ghost field this whole time. You can see sort of the rough shape of what looks like a spirit or spirit energy, at least, pouring out of this thing.
Right, just like fragments of it, just trying to coalesce into something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for a moment, Blair thinks that this worked. She's watching in the ghost field, and she sees these fragments start to come together, taking on a humanoid shape. You can see a head and a torso and limbs. And for 1 second, Blair is just like, I did it. I actually did it. But then it keeps going. It keeps growing. There are too many limbs and too many heads sprouting off of this thing. And suddenly, every last one of those heads that have grown off of this spirit opens their mouths and lets out this horrible, gut-wrenching wail. And it doesn't stop, and it's getting louder and louder, and it just feels like the sound is clawing at the inside of Blair's skull.
I feel as though Blair, in her back pocket, has some sort of last-ditch effort if she, back against the wall, cannot, you know, calm down a feral ghost. She basically has some kind of, like, kill all missile, like not a spirit bane charm, but like something that can like actually destroy a ghost.
Okay. Something based on the stuff that the spirit wardens use.
Yes. And I don't think she ever carries it on her person. I think it's just something that she keeps in her room in case something ever goes wrong in the house, kind of thing. So Blair is going to reach for that and use that.
Yeah, I'm imagining that it's like a kind of a powder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sort of hits this spirit, and the shrieking intensifies for a couple seconds, and then the spirit kind of folds in on itself and seems like it's imploding.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of collapses down into just this, for a second, this bright, single bright point of spirit energy, and then it winks out.
Blair is just like on her knees, and I think it's just silent in the room for maybe 1 minute before she, like, you know, just keels over and just is sobbing, because I don't think she's ever had to do that before in the nest, or ever. But she just got so panicked, she didn't know what was going to happen, and it's just now hitting her, like, oh my god, I killed a ghost. Which goes against, like, her entire ethos as a person.
And I think that kind of in all of this chaos that had happened, you had a vial of salt water, void seawater, on a shelf, mm-hmm. that I think as you were scrambling for this kill switch, you knocked to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Blair doesn't notice it, but that little puddle of seawater starts to bubble. And then I think what we see is just, you know, Blair is on the floor weeping. And a hand, surprisingly gentle, probably gentler than Blair has ever experienced from Satara, rests on her shoulder. And you hear a familiar voice say, "I told you it was a waste of your time." It's remarkable, really, how someone so clever can be so foolish at the same time.
I didn't want to kill it. I didn't want to.
Sometimes you find yourself in situations where you have to make difficult choices. And you, unfortunately, walked into this situation yourself.
You don't understand. You weren't there. I was this close. I was so close. I could have saved it.
It didn't look that way from what I saw. Blair, you are clever. You are brilliant. But you must focus your brilliance on the things that matter. This project of yours was doomed to failure from the start. And I indulged it because I knew it would teach you a lesson. Your attention must stay on things where you can succeed, where you can make a difference.
And from somewhere in her dress of water, she produces a book. It's a familiar book. It's one that the two of you had been working on for a long time about summoning things from other realms. And she just kind of holds it out to you. Do you want your name to go down in history, Blair? Do you want to be known for your brilliance, for your discoveries? This is how you do it.
Okay.
And she will offer you a hand up.
Blair takes it.
When you've rested, we should get back to work.
Let's do it.
Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at magpies_pod and visit our Patreon at patreon.com/magpiespodcast. The Magpies Podcast is GM'd and produced by Rhee. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42 and check out rpgskillcheck.net for my copy editing and accessibility freelance site. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at Dragon Girl Josie, and watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions.
Next, I'd like to thank our wonderful Patreon backers. Elizabeth, thank you.
But it's Applebee's. That's all it is.
Well, it's Applebee's, but cuter and yes. Probably better.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, definitely better, like food-wise. But aesthetic-wise, definitely Applebee's.